How are you doing today?
Good.
Are you? Good. Why are you doing good? That's right. There you go. How about you, Steve? I go into the bank sometimes and they say to me, "How's life treating you?" And I'll say, "Terrible." I said, "But Jesus is always here, so it's always good, you know." Does life treat you bad? Do you have bad things happen? People, things. This week, in the last 2 weeks, we had all these floods in our house. You know, my wife wakes up, goes out there to make coffee, and she's walking through a pool of water, you know, didn't realize it was there in the kitchen floor. So she cleans it all up. I get up. I get to hear about it. And so I call a plumber. Now, I know all these plumbers, right? I got like hundreds of them in my phone, right? I couldn't get a plumber out here for about 3 days. First time I called a plumber, they came out. He says, "I know what it is, and we'll do this." And it cut a hole in your wall behind the washer, and you got to move the washer and all that. Oh, yeah, whole week of that, you know. And so he does it. Oh, I forgot to tell you, she had a flood a couple, 3 mornings in a row while we're waiting on the plumber. Then he comes and does that. A few days later, she says, "Okay, I'll do the laundry." She does the laundry. We thought we had a flood before. This time, it floods the hallway going out into the, you know, the room, the washer room, the hallway going out to the garage. Janiyah was over here, thankfully. And it pours down through the ceiling, all into her office, all over the computer, printer, scanner. So I call that plumber back and said, "Well, first, when it flooded again after he did it, I called that plumber back. And I was talking to him and the phone just died, right? Like, I mean, the connection broke. I called him back. It would just go straight to voicemail the rest of the day. I tried it for several hours. I said, "I don't know if this was your fault or not. I don't even know if it's connected. But we had this leak." Click. So I called back. I can't get a hold of him. So I said, I tried for 4 hours and I couldn't get a hold of him. So I said, "Okay, I better call a different plumber," you know. So I called another plumber. It took them 3 days. Well, we have this $6,000 machine to be able to look down the pipes and all this. And that guy's in Kalamazoo and da-da-da-da-da, you know, today and whatever. And we'll come tomorrow. Well, tomorrow came and went, and I called him and said, "You said you were coming in the afternoon." The afternoon's getting away. And, I mean, I'm not mad or anything, but I'm just, you know, calling to remind him, you know. Oh, well, Harv, how about tomorrow morning? Now, my wife has got all this stuff. We've got a whole dishwasher. We're not running the dishwasher. We're afraid to do anything, you know. And she's got all this stuff out on the counter. Dishwasher's full. I had to use the same coffee cup every day. She had to hand wash it every day. I know that doesn't sound like a bad thing. But what I'm saying is like, it's different than what I've experienced for years, okay? And then I got this unhappy bride, and I can't do anything about it. How's life treating you? So then that guy comes and says, "Oh, I know what it is." And he says, "We'll bypass the sink in the kitchen, and everything will be fine." He's right. We've had problems with that ever since we moved here because it's connected to the washer, and something was wrong. It's always backed up and turned the garbage disposal on, and so it comes up the other side. You know, it's like, how's life treating you? So he does that. Sure enough, it works. A few days later, Sue says, "I think I'll do the laundry now." That's when it pours through the ceiling. I called the guy back and go, I don't know if it's related. Now, this is another company. Okay. I said, I don't know if it's related, but here's what happened. So he comes out and he says, well, it needs this, but we also need to call another plumbing company and have them come out and clean your pipes because there was all this sludge. He cut the pipe open and there's all this sludge and junk up in there. And the whole house smelled like we were at the sewer. And we had candles going upstairs, downstairs, all over the place. And it still was bad. And I put the bag out. Okay, so we got all this mess down in the Sue's office in there, you know, right across over there. And Sue and Janai take all these towels and put them down. Well, they were so ruined, Sue took the towels and threw them away, put them in a bag. I threw it in the trash can, and last night we're laying in bed, and she can smell it. She said, and I'm like, and it was a nasty smell, you know. How's life treating you? I'm saying all this not because, you know, I'm doing this, you know, smallest violin for the biggest sob story I ever heard, or stereo. I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because what do you do when things don't go right? What do you do when you're out and you got a job and you're cutting all the wood and they tell you, we got this job for you, and you show up and, oh, they didn't tell me that I have to go and drag them all out. They didn't tell me I had to cut down all these trees to make a pathway to get there. They didn't tell me my dad, who comes out to help me, is going to have a tree fall and hit him in the head and cause him a brain concussion and lacerations and have to go to emergency for hours and have CAT scans and all kinds of, right when his insurance was in between changing so it's not covered by insurance. So how's your life going? What do you do when life is like that? I'm asking for a reason. Yeah? Go ahead. What's it say? And all these things shall be added unto you. But we're not thinking that when we're going through this and water's pouring. And my wife and daughter are here and there's water all over and they got those towels that they put down trying to get the mess up. And now there's all the ceiling that's caving in. And it's gooky stuff that you don't even want to touch. And you already are smelling it and seeing it, but now you got to touch it. And my wife and daughter are going, they're gagging. My wife is like gagging, even trying to walk downstairs, let alone in that office. And she's like, I can't get on my knees and clean that, Harvey. And my phone, oh, how's life treating you? My phone's ringing off the hook, right? I mean, I've got people, I put one guy on hold about 5 times to get the next call. Texts are coming in, which just irritate me, because they pop up on my screen while I'm trying to talk and just, how's life treating you? What I'm saying to you is, how do we live Jesus when that's happening? How do we live Jesus when that's happening? Okay, so some of the processes we go through are what? Anger. Anybody ever, you don't experience that, right? But like, right. Those of you shaking your head are lying like a rug. The rest of you that are smiling know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, what about getting mad at ourselves because of the way that we react afterwards, you know? I'm not talking about during the time, but afterwards we get all mad at ourselves because we have expectation of ourselves like we're supposed to be, what, spiritual giants or something? No. Do you know that he was beaten for you? Why do you beat yourself up? That's what God said to me. Why do you beat yourself up? I'm reminding you of some things. I know you've never heard some of these things, but, you know, not more than 100 times. I mean, you know. But I'm asking you, how's life treating you as you go through life with Jesus? Because imagine just going through it without Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Imagine. That's what I'm saying. Imagine trying to go through life without Jesus. But how do we go through it with Him? Because, watch, here's the process. We have anger and retaliation and yelling and trying not to yell. It's coming out anyway, even though we're trying to be a Christian. And then we're beating ourselves up, and then we're mad at ourselves. Of course, we're mad at the other people first, and we're blaming people and, you know, saying stupid things and thinking stupid things, and some of those stupid things come out of our mouth. And then we have to come back to Him. And then what I'm saying is, how's life treating you? Now, I'm not trying to use myself as the best example or anything like that, but I'm just telling you something that God has done in me. In the past, a lot of my life, I've had to be in control. I know that comes as a surprise to you, but I had to be in control. And so everything ought to go my way because I've got the best way. And if all the rest of you just do it my way, it would work. I mean, the whole world, just let me run it, you know, and make it all comfortable for me. Is that how we not all think, really? Now, I was doing pretty good through the midst of all this. I wasn't getting angry. I wasn't feeling all this. Until that one morning when the phone was ringing, one on top of the other, and the texts were coming in, and then Sue comes to me, wanting me to be her hero, and it's like, I can't even keep up with what I'm doing, and I just was like, and I didn't say anything. I just kind of like, she came up, I just went, and looked at her, and she goes, you need to pray. I'm like, I didn't say anything. I didn't, you know. I mean, all I did was like, just, you know, look at you, you know. I mean, I'm doing way much better. How's life treating you? How do you go through every day? Where's your thinking? How about, more importantly, where's your focus? Where's your focus? See, we get mission-minded. We get like tunnel vision. I'm going there. This is what I'm going to do. And then anything gets in our way. I don't care if it's the one you say that you love more than anybody. We don't treat them so good. Because they got in our way of our mission. I'm going to do this. And then life says, see if you can get through the obstacle course. Right? Is that right? Because it's not one thing. It's not just that the track comes off one side one day and you need a few people to help you. It comes off four different times while you're doing one job. Everything seems to go wrong. Nothing's going right. Then somebody comes to help and you're thinking, thank God somebody came to help me, and a tree falls on him, you know? And then they don't have insurance. I mean, like, you know what I mean? It's like, you ever heard the old saying, when it rains, it pours? So how's life treating you? Where's our focus? You know what was neat that I heard that just made me so thankful to have a son-in-law named Dudley. I was hearing all this bad stuff that was happening on this one job he was doing that just, he was having, it was an ordeal. I've never said the least, but. And then the tree falls on his dad and the whole thing. And now Dudley's just, he was looking for a whip so he could beat himself, you know. So he just kept beating himself as good as he could without a whip. But then I heard that Dudley drew back into God. And he went and got some oil. And he went out to that job site. And he began to anoint the job site with the presence of God and pray over it and commit it into God's hands. Where's our focus? Now, I'm not... Take this in the right way. Dudley did that at the end or after going through a whole bunch. And that's how we learn. But I bet next time Dudley's not going to wait till the end. I think he's got an aha moment. Yeah? I think he's got an aha moment. Aha. Aha. I get it. That's what he meant. Oh, that's what I should do. I think next time he's going to start the job. I think he's going to start carrying oil. I don't care if he has to get some 10, be a 30 and carry it around in his, you know, van and put it up, right up on top and say, this is what I've got this for. I'm not even going to start the job till I start anointing. Now, he may forget because things may go okay and he may forget because that's how we do. And then when it starts going bad, God's going to bring it back because God is the only one who can get away with nagging. And the Holy Spirit's going to come and remind us, John 14:26. I will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. The Holy Reminderer. And he's going to come and remind Dudley, and then, that's what I needed to do. That's what I forgot. Are you listening to me? Disciple wannabes? Are you listening to me? That's how we learn. We learn a little at a time. We get an idea from God. Then we need to get it about 10 or 20 more times before we even move on it. Oh, it's a real good idea. We even know it's God. And we'll tell others about it even in the process. But we don't do nothing with it because procrastination is what we're all good at. But it's not a virtue. So we need to break agreement with that. I told our kids they didn't like hearing it, but they learned it very well. Obedience. What is obedience, Janiah? Did you ever hear that like very many times at home? It's called instant obedience. When God gives you a thought, move on it. That's faith. You want to please God? That's how you please God. Move on what He tells you. When you ask Him something and He gives you a thought, don't say, that's a good thought. Let me tell everybody else about it. Do something with it. Faith is an action word. It's not a theory. It's not a feel-good thought. It's what will get you through what you're going through. Because you can't get through it without it. And He'll let you stay in it as long as you need to till you get it. Because He's so kind. Why is it this going away? He said, you haven't got it yet. Because you're not doing anything with what I'm telling you. How's life treating you? Where's our focus? Seriously. Where is our focus? Where is our focus? I did so well with all these calamities coming at us this week. I didn't even tell you all of them. Sue's air conditioner goes out. So I take it to the mechanic. It was only $800 to fix it. You know? Well, it's got a hole. We got to replace this thing. It'll only be $800. You know? You see, I've had three plumbers here in the last 2 weeks fixing a myriad, or what Janiah would say, a plethora of problems. Yeah, that's how you pronounce that word, plethora. Okay. I know, I don't like that word. I don't know why. Anyway, I just don't. Probably because I didn't think of it first. So how's life treating you? Seriously. How? You know, I went over to little Remy this morning. Because God had me say this to somebody else this morning. And I went over to little Remy and I said, who do you want smiling? Jesus or the devil at your life? Jesus. I said, do you know what? That makes me so happy. And I said, you see that guy and that girl? Pointing at his folks. I said, it's going to make them so happy when you make that choice. And I said, I'm not just looking for Remy to be happy while he's a little boy. I'm looking for Remy to learn things so that Remy grows up to have a rich, full life and knows how to walk through life happy. And that's what I'm saying to him, but I'm saying to you, walk through life with the life and the love and the fullness of Jesus. You come back on Sunday to get filled up. What if you got so filled up, you were living filled up? I'm serious. I'm not playing. That's what I felt like when we were going through all these things. Except for that one day when the calls were coming one on top of the other. All the rest of the time, I'm just like at peace. They're telling me it's $800. And I said, do what you need to do. And the plumber hangs up on me, I guess, and wouldn't call back, wouldn't answer the phone. I'm sorry, I'm a paying customer. You're already at my house. Like, you know, but I didn't get mad. I didn't feel any mad, any frustration. It was just like, Lord, he's like, you need to call another one. I said, which one? And then I called them and I felt real good about them when they came. And then he fixed one of the problems, but there was actually three problems. So he fixed one of the problems. So then we had the other two problems that came back after he left. Okay? Well, they came and fixed one of those problems and said, we can't fix the third problem. You got to pay another company to come. And the guy says, I'm going to tell, and by the way, so my wife and daughter, they're like gagging. It was so strong. I mean, it was like being in a sewer. Okay? I mean, I think that's what it was. Say what? And I said to them when they came, guys, he said, well, it's going to cost you, and they were here like 45 minutes. He said, it's going to cost you $230. I said, if that's what it costs. I said, I'm not even worried about that. I just want the problem taken care of. Have you ever gotten to that place where it's like, I don't care what it costs, just get it taken care of, you know? And I said, but I want you to add to the bill. I want you to clean up the mess. I said, I know it's not your job, but I'd like you guys, because you two are younger, and my wife can't get on her knees, and it's hard for me to get on my knees, and I don't want my daughter with 9 kids to have to go clean this up also. I said, just add it to, I said, would y'all do that? And they were nodding their head. I said, add it to my bill. So they, instead of 230, they gave me a bill for 225 and cleaned the mess. Now, James 4:2, you need to learn. You have not because you ask not. I ask. Because when I said it to Sue, she goes, but that's not their job. And I'm like, what does that matter? You have not because you ask not. I asked, and they did it. It was the mercy of God. So how's life treating you? So how are you going through every day? Are you whining? Are you I'm saying it because this is true of everybody, but I'm trying to help you. Okay? Now picture what I'm going to say, so you don't beat yourself up. When you take you could take a snapshot of anybody's life and catch them in a moment that day. Every day we fail, do we not? So let's just say we only fail once a day. So let me take, let's just say it's once a day. Just once, okay? The biggest one, okay? And somebody catches you in a snapshot. If you just look at the snapshot, you're a failure. Because that's what you focused on. Now watch. God takes a video all day. He's looking at the overall. Okay, you messed up, but you turned right around and you fessed up. Jesus, I did it again. He said, I know. He said, but my mercies are new every minute. Weren't we just reminded of that a minute ago? My mercies, my loving kindnesses, my tenderness and gentleness extended toward you are right now here available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just admit it. Ask me to forgive you. Every single time, I'm just telling you, every single time when you come in honesty and humility, not defending, not yelling, not blaming, open, honest, real, vulnerable, transparent. God, I messed up. Will you forgive me? Do you know what he told me his answer always is? Of course I will. I've been just waiting for you to ask me. Every time he's excited to forgive us. And then he says, now, for you to receive my forgiveness so you quit beating yourself up, log splitter. He said, out loud say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Learn to receive my forgiveness. And then he says, now, will you forgive yourself? Will you make a choice to forgive yourself? So how's life treating you? How are you going through each day? The bosses, the bills, the stupid people, the teenagers. Oh my. No wonder he cuts his hair so short. Okay. Dude. Nothing harder than being a teenager than being a parent of a teenager, you know? But man, if you put yourself in their place, I would not want to be a teenager again for nothing. And we need to remember that when they're going through stupid. Okay? They can't help it. And they are besieged by stupidness all around them. That's pulling them in. Come on, be stupid with us. I'm sorry for cussing, but I'm trying to make a point. So how's life treating you? So how are you doing each day? Really, I know you know in theory, because y'all can repeat like minor birds the things that we say, because especially if I say them, because I say them all the time. I know you can repeat these things, but I'm talking about living them. So watch. Do you own forgiving yourself? Do you own receiving forgiveness from God? Or are you still beating yourself up? And maybe you're doing better than you used to do, but have you even got on that journey yet where you've learned to say out loud? Because you got to do it out loud. If you do it in your head, the devil will mess with you in your head. It doesn't work in your head the same as when you do it out loud. We believe in the spirit realm, correct? Okay, now watch. When you say it out loud, you're making a declaration in the spirit realm. You're actually doing what God said in Matthew 18, 19 or somewhere right over there where he said, I'm giving you the authority that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. But you got to do it out loud. He already knows. It's not because he's omniscient. It's because all of us are humans and we're all the same. And we all go through the same things and we all react the same thing because we all have this weak flesh and feelings that take us like a roller coaster. Usually a lot of downhills. He knows what humans feel. He's been around like 6,000 years, dude. Watching all of us, and we all fall in the same traps. That's why what I'm saying hits everybody in the room, and everybody in the room is doing this. It's not because they're all little minor birds. It's because they're all going, yeah, that's true in my life. And I'm like, I could say it to anybody on the planet. It's true in their life. I'm just trying to help you today so that we go further in the process where we don't go through this the same way, beating ourselves up, feeling down and depressed. I'm a failure. I messed up again. I need to go drink or eat too much or whatever I need to do to make me feel better about myself. See, what we need to do is learn to come to Jesus like quicker. The quicker picker-upper. Okay? That's Jesus. He's better than Bounty. He's the quicker picker-upper. He's the only one that can pick you up. I didn't make this up! But we got to come to Him. Anoint that job before we do it. Now, it's okay that you did it when you did it. But what I'm saying is that God's like, hey, if you include me sooner, it'll go better sooner. That's what I'm saying to you. That's what I was saying to you upstairs, John. So watch this. Write this down or get it in your head or something. If you include me sooner, it will go smoother sooner. If you include me sooner, it will go better sooner. Like, how hard is that? If you include Jesus sooner, it will go better sooner. Never heard that before. He's the quicker picker-upper. I like that one. He's the quicker picker-upper. So how's life treating you? You know what? I still have the same customers. Or I should say the same kind of customers. In America, we have this attitude. It's Burger King attitude. Drive through my way right now. A guy calls my son, Eric, son-in-law, and says, Eric, we have 85 showers that we installed. They're still building in this complex or whatever it is. I don't know, but there's 85 showers, and every one of them, the drain is higher than the floor. Because, we've run into this a lot of times. So we call the manufacturer, and they could send two guys that will take 2 days to do two, to fix two of them. And he said, I can't wait that long. And so Eric calls me, like a kid at Christmas that just got his favorite whatever he was looking for, you know, off the TV commercial. And he goes, Dad, he's just laughing, you know. And he's like, I'm thinking, okay, something good. You know, he goes, God is good. I'm thinking, God's good all the time. What are you happy about, you know? He goes, I've got 85 shower units, but they got the drain's too high and he wants us to fix him. He said, would you like to get in on that? I said, yes, I would. But I'm right now, one of my guys is 3 weeks out and the other guy is into the middle of June. And I said, but I've got a third guy that will start not this Monday, but next Monday. Yeah, I'm thankful. And he goes, no, he wants it right now. I said, ask him how that feels, you know. I said, Eric, we could do it this way, and we could do like two a day. Or we could do it this way, and we might could get 4 to 6 a day. And I said, but, you know, you got to ask him. So he was meeting with him and going to find out. But I know the guy's going to tell him, I want it now. And I'm like, how's that feel? You know, like, so what are you going to do with that? You know? Huh? You know, your lack of preparation doesn't necessitate an emergency on my part. You know? So what do you want me to do? Sir, I want this business. You like what I say and you like my price. Yeah. How about tomorrow? I said, sir, I have 3 weeks before I can even get here to start one. Well, no, I said, what do you want me to do with 3 weeks of customers? Do I tell all of them they have to wait because you just now called me? See, and then he has some character development that comes out on his face and stuff when I say that. So I said, sir, I want to help you, but you do have to be reasonable. If you think I'm good and you've tried others and nobody, but you want me to do it, I said, do you think I'm sitting around with this skill waiting for you to call? I had nothing else to do, and I can stay in business just waiting on the edge of my seat until you call me? See, I have to bring stuff into perspective, but you can't even say that to them because they can't hear it because they're not into character development. They're into you serving them right now, no matter what. It doesn't matter about everybody else because it's me, 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 me. They're stuck on one note. So how's life treating you? So how do you go through every day with life treating you this way? Okay, today, what you're going to get, we talked about this upstairs, John. You want to write it down. Where is my focus? Remember, my focus, his presence. Okay, picture what I'm going to say, please. Jesus is standing right behind you. He's got a big smile on his face. Do you feel a smile right now? Yes? I'm asking you, do you want to lose that smile? Well, what about when you have to deal with this guy that's me, 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 me? What about, how do you deal? What are you going to do when the tree falls on your dad's head? What are you going to do when you're writhing in pain? What are you going to do? Number one, where's my focus? Number two, the quicker I involve Jesus, the better it goes. Jesus, I need your wisdom. James 1:5. I need your wisdom. I don't know what to do. Now, can you see Jesus wringing his hands, pacing back and forth in heaven, worrying about your problem? He's all frustrated, right? Sweat's pouring off of him. He doesn't know. His brow is furrowed, curled, whatever the word is. He's all worried. He's the quicker picker-upper. Here he is. Just want you, that's right. And that's why Brother Harold, on his deathbed, could say, it's okay, I'm at peace. It is well with my soul, my mind and will and emotions, because my focus is on him, not on this body, not on this world, not on these circumstances of the boisterous waves. So I'm just going to walk on water. Because my focus is going to stay on Jesus. Do you hear me? The sooner we involve Him, the better it goes. Where's my focus? Have I involved Jesus? Okay? So how is life treating you? Because I'm letting you know this is going to keep happening. All of these things, trees falling on people, the track coming off the skid steer, the transmission or whatever needing to be rebuilt, people dying and going home, people suffering, bills, stupid people and all the things they do. I know. And so my question is, when I say that, because I was just about to go there, how are we going to view them? Stupid? Cut them off? Call them names? Give them the look? Avoid them? Talk about them to others because of how it affected us? I wasn't gospel. I was just talking about how it affected me. Had to run somebody down to get there. Or do we want to be like Jesus and His disciples and have a Redeemer mindset? That means we want to restore them. But see, God has to do some work in our hearts because we have these other things in our hearts that deal with self-focus. Right? Is this right? Well, we have to admit it before we're going to get deliverance. We have to admit it before there's even can start the change. We need to admit it. God, this is where my heart... Listen to this. This is so cool. God, this is what's true in my heart and has been up till now. But I don't want it to be anymore. So right now I'm drawing a line. I don't want this living in me anymore. But Jesus, it's not me that can change it. You got to change it. So I'm giving you permission. I'm inviting you to come do whatever it takes. Because I want to have the same heart you do toward stupid people. I want to see them through your eyes. I want to have your heart toward them. So yesterday, Sue and Janaya and some of the youngins, they go to this mystery room, escape room. You know, they pay money to have to get out of a room. Okay, and they call that fun. Okay, I'm sorry, I could have done that when she was a kid and wouldn't even have charged her. You know, but... I'm kidding. I'm just having fun, you know, at your expense, you know. I knew you'd like it. I knew you would. I knew. I just thought it just all of a sudden as I started saying that, like, okay. You have a what?
Redeemer.
Thank you. Thank you. I needed that. Okay. So watch. So they leave and Sue, being so thoughtful of me, she kept saying through the week, now you know we're going to be going on Saturday. And I go, yeah. And she said, so you're going to be here by yourself. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Jamie, bless her little heart, she's like, Mom, I want to come take you shopping for Mother's Day. So she comes all the way over here Saturday morning and takes Sue shopping. She already bought stuff for her. She said, I was going to take you shopping, but I already bought stuff for you, Mom. And she's like giving stuff. And she's so cool. And she, and one of Janiah's kids, I think it was one, had a birthday. But Jamie, because there's 9 kids, she didn't want to just give a birthday present to one. So she got a birthday present for all 9 of them and put a $20 bill on top of it. And on top of that, just because it was one's birthday. Do you hear God in that? I'm just like, I've got the best kids. So she takes Sue and they go shopping, like, you know, 9:30, 10, whatever, they leave. So I'm by myself and I get to do whatever I did. I don't even remember what I did. But there was something I did, I'm trying to remember. Oh, I'm drawn to this neighbor and I'm drawn to the one kitty corner across from us over there. And God keeps having them out in the yard and I keep saying something to them. So the other day I said, if we invited y'all for dinner, would, you know, y'all come over and maybe we could cook out on the grill and, you know, I said, you like steak? And, you know, oh yeah, we'd like that. So I just dropped the thought in Sue's mind because I knew she'd need a month or two to think about it. And so she begins thinking about it. She thinks we have to redo the whole house and the whole outside to invite a couple of people over. And I'm like, Sue, I don't care. She said, Harvey, I know you don't care, but she said, whenever you invite people, I feel like I have to clean the whole house and the outside. And I'm like, oh, you don't, you know. And so I did not mean to put her in turmoil. But I knew she'd need time to process, but I didn't know it was going to be a turmoil for her. I didn't mean to. Yeah, so pay to redecorate the whole house to have two people over for dinner, you know. I'm sorry, I don't get it. But anyway, so she's telling me, okay, we're going to need to do this, we're going to need to do that, and you're going to need to be, I'm like, no, not what I had in mind, just invite them over, spend an hour sitting here well, we're going to have to redo the whole deck, so she has Jackson come and spend the whole day cleaning the whole deck, doing all this, scrubbing it down, cleaning every little piece of furniture out there. Anyway, so Sue leaves, and she's leaving, right? Now, I hear this before Saturday. I said, what if, I said to her, I think it was Friday night or Saturday morning, I said, what if, I said, I know, you're going to be gone anyway, right? And you said I could do whatever. So how about if I invite them over and we'll just have steak, the three of us, we'll just sit around and talk. You can't do that. It has to be the four of us. You know, and I'm like, I'm letting you out of it. No, you can't have somebody in my house without me being here. And I'm like, it's fine. It looks beautiful. And she's like, you don't understand. We have to spend weeks in preparation. And I'm like, oh, you know, or whatever, you know. I'm like, oh. So glad I was born male, you know, but it's okay. I am thankful for you women because I'd be living in a tree or cave if it wasn't for you. So I'm very thankful because this is much more comfortable than a tree or cave. I've done that. Okay, now, it's the corner of the housetop I really don't like, but I don't have one of those, so I'm thankful, you know. You know what I'm talking about in Proverbs. But anyway, God does give us an escape route. It's called an escape route. Okay. You don't even have to pay for it. But you will pay for it if you go there. Yes. So they're having a neighborhood garage sale, right? Everybody's house, all these people are coming through. So I see them sitting out over there. So I talk to them a little bit when I walk outside and whatever, and it was beautiful outside, wasn't it, yesterday? Michigan makes you appreciate the weather. Oh, my word. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I didn't know. I said, I know what I'll do. I'll go sit with them in the garage sale. Because he was over there by himself a lot, you know. So I go over there and I sat with him and we're compatible because he does a lot of listening. And so she came out and I just was talking to him, you know, like nothing hardly, you know, just whatever, chatter, chatter, chatter. And then some shoppers come up. So I act like it's my garage sale, you know. Everything's on sale. We've been saving the best for you. Matter of fact, I did that a couple of times, and then the third people that came, he started saying that. We saved the best for you. I mean, it was so cool. It was so cool. You know? It was like so cool. So the first people, the shoppers that came, they got so-and-so Baptist Church from the north end. I don't remember what it was. Redeemer Baptist Church, I think. And on the back it was, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." That's exactly what it was. Black couple or semi-black. And so I went up to them and I saw that. And I start talking to them as they're walking out the driveway. And it was like God's like, "This homeowners need to hear what you're saying." So I said, "Hey, let's go back and say it in front of them." So I go back and start talking to them about salvation and how they met Jesus and whatever in front of them. So I give them a hug and they leave. So I'm talking to the homeowners and I said something about, y'all know that we're pastors, right? We have a church. "Oh yeah, yeah, we know." I said, "Yeah, I was a drug dealer when I met Jesus." He goes, "No, no one told me about you being a drug dealer. How'd that tell?" Yeah, that's what she said. "No one told me about you being a drug dealer." She said, "Tell me about that. You know, tell me how that happened for you to come to Jesus." But however she said it. So then I got to give my whole testimony, you know, and it was fun. How is life treating you? Have you ever heard this? If life serves you lemons, turn it into lemonade. Have you ever heard that? It's not just words. It's a principle that works. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he broke two bones in his neck, and they put one of those things on. So, Lord, right now we just lift up Dudley the First and ask that you would have mercy on him right now, that you would put divine wedges between the nerves that are touching and causing the pain, and that, Lord, you would take him out of pain or subside it and just pour in grace and mercy and your kindness and love and your presence. I just see you want to do more than what I'm asking. So I come in agreement with you. And then that you would guide them, and when they go there to have somebody look at it, that they would have wisdom to know what to do, how to help him, not just drug him up. But Lord, I know and we know right now you could simply just speak the word and heal him. And that is our desire, and we're releasing you to do that. He's already under your blood and under your authority. At least I believe so. And I'm bringing him under your blood. And I'm committing him unto you. That verse says, as unto a faithful creator. And Lord, you love him and care about him way more than anybody in this room. And our desire and our prayer is that you would heal him. The word says, Psalm 103, I believe, it says, you forgive all our iniquities and you heal all our diseases. And so, Lord, what he's having to go through, we're asking that you would remove the pain and heal what's broken, and that you would cuddle him in your arms and he would know your presence more than he ever has, and so much so that he'd get addicted and want to live there even more and deeper than he's ever experienced up to this point. We ask that you would comfort Kay, his wife, that you would bring peace into her spirit, that you would grip her to get her focus on you. I know her focus is on her husband, and she's going to do what she can to help him. But that, Lord, it would be done without lightning and, those bad chords on the piano. It would be done with peace, in peace, and that you would take care of them and comfort them and draw them under your breast and help them to just seek you. because I know you will be found. And we're asking for your mercy. And we're thanking you that you love us deeper and more than we can even imagine. May they experience that today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? We good? How is life treating you? You hear, these are things we're going to go through all the time. Case in point. Where's our focus? Have we given it to the quicker picker-upper? Have we included him? I don't have an outline written down. I didn't know I was going to be talking today. Sue just felt like God told her I was supposed to talk. I hope this helped you. I want to tell you something. I want you to hear very clearly what I'm getting ready to say. I know you already know this, but I want you to hear it. My goal, I was talking to somebody, and God revealed to me, Harvey, your focus is my presence. He said, but your goal, he said, that I put in you, that you're cooperating with, your goal in life is to help each person that comes in your life learn how to get closer to Jesus and live there. Your goal is to, he said, every single person that comes in your life, your goal, everything you do, all the stuff you say, your overall goal. Now, I'm not saying I can't fail with a snapshot, but he said, the video, your goal, all this time has been to get them closer to Jesus so they could live Jesus with whatever life is dishing out to them and treating them. Because, like, let's take Dudley's dad. What can we do but pray? Money isn't going to, throwing money, that's not going to fix it. He's still in pain. Saying, oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't do anything. I mean, we want people to have empathy, but what I'm saying is they need more than that. What they need is Jesus. And what prayer does is get Jesus involved, releases Jesus, the life of Jesus, into his life. And it says, all things whatsoever in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And see, like, I find my faith believing for these things. You know what I'm saying? It's not that I'm wishing, I'm believing because the Word says so. Sue and Janaya walks in to our house. I got a headache, Dad. I need prayer. We're laying in bed. Sue's like, my legs hurt. Whatever. Now, they wouldn't keep doing that if God wasn't answering. Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we can't, it's hard to believe for yourself. For me it is when I'm in pain. I need somebody to pray for me. Or sometimes I'm going through, I ask y'all, I don't ask y'all all the time, but I ask you when there's times I need you to pray for me because I can't pray for me. How is life treating you? You might want to remember these words. But then there's Jesus. I don't care what, but then there's Jesus. And he's bigger than any need you have. He told me that in 1977, And I didn't begin to get that until 2017. Because I'm a quick learner. He told me that, but I worried the whole time the kids were growing up. We had way more month than money. We used to run out around the 17th. What do you do with the other half of the month? I couldn't afford to pay my kid for, buy them shoes. I couldn't buy them anything. I couldn't even hardly pay the bills. And I worked 2 and 3 jobs. Did I not? I tried. I did my best. So what God did was He gave me jobs, but He also touched other people's hearts. And that was hard on my pride. I wonder if that matters or if that was part of God's plan. Huh. So a credit card company tells me the other day, do you know that you have 71,000 miles, points on your credit card? I said, so what is that equal to in miles? Like if I was buying airplane tickets. And they said $4,700 or whatever they said. It was over 4,000, whatever the numbers were after that. And I said, do you know why I'm saving those points? I said, the last time, I said, I've got a daughter and her husband. They have 9 kids, and they're called to be missionaries in Africa. And the reason I keep using your card and saving those points is so that when they go, I can help them. That's because God told me when she was a teenager or younger, I said, God told her she was going to have 12 kids. And when she was a teenager one day, God told me, when I had no money, God told me, when I had no money, matter of fact, we were just getting kicked out of our house. We lost our house in court. Remember that, Steve? You tried to help us? You did. You helped. But I told you, even when you tried to help, don't help. This is God. And when we had no money, he said to me, when she's married, you are going to help them financially to fulfill what I have for them. I had no money. And he told me that. Because that's how God is. He tells you, he speaks those things which be not as though they were. He's my example. I have to believe what he says no matter if I'm seeing the waves or I don't have money to pay enough to pay attention, you know? How is life treating you? Are you, now hear me, are you going through it with Jesus? Or do you have, I'm really asking you this question. Are you going through it with Jesus, or do you have to keep coming back to Jesus? And it's okay wherever you're at. I'm just letting you know there's more. He wants you to go through it with Him. Now He doesn't mind if you come back to Him. But you're going to learn one way or the other. You're going to learn that you could go through it with Him and it's easier. He's the quicker picker-upper. I'm serious. Where's my focus? Am I including Him sooner? The things we teach are to help you to walk with Him, to live with Him. We don't do everything right. We were watching a movie last night and everything was fine until the guy used the Lord's name in vain. Oh, that just... So afterwards I said, God, I'm so sorry that they said that. And I'm so sorry that I was party to it by watching. Will you please forgive me? He said, of course. He said, now thank me and forgive yourself. You see what I'm saying? He's not mad. He's not disappointed. He's not stomping his feet. He doesn't have his arms crossed. Whoa. He said, huh? Yeah, he doesn't ever say that. He's like, it's only 432. You still got 490. He said, you haven't even used up your quota today. Yeah. Yeah. Hadn't even got out of bed yet. I was like, wow, I wonder what life's going to be like then. So how's life treating you? Hear me. You're going to go through it anyway. I hate it when people make it sound like when you meet Jesus that everything turns out rosy. It doesn't. You have to go through the same horrible things that other people go through. We have somebody in our family that was raped. We have somebody in our family that was in jail. Justly. We've had financial reverses where you lose your house and your car. Doing what God tells you. And you do that. Like leading us into that on purpose. Which didn't make sense to me. Made me mad at God. Up until then, I never got mad at God. But then I got mad at God. I couldn't understand people being mad at God. Now I can understand people being mad at God. Sometimes we have to go through things because, are you hearing me? Because of our self-righteousness. Because we think too highly of ourselves. Because if you ever hear yourself saying, I can't believe they did that, you're probably going to have something served on your plate that you're not going to like. And you're going to find that he's going to knock your legs out from under you, little stiff-necked person. That's what he's going to do. How is life treating you? Now, what if we ask this? How's Jesus treating you? Maybe I should have been saying that the whole time. How's Jesus treating you? We're done. Anybody have anything to say? Need prayer? Anything? For the next, at least next week and maybe a few weeks after, I'm going to be going to the other side of the state on Sunday to help somebody. I feel like God put it on my heart this morning to go help somebody get in church. Go figure. You know what verse he brought to my mind? That he leaves the 99 to go seek the one. There's another verse, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man cometh to seek and to save that which was lost. 2.5 hours one way. And I've got grace. It's like, I mean, just poured it into me like this morning. It wasn't in my mind. I wasn't thinking anything about it, nothing. I'm just praying for the guy. God's like, text him to get him into church today. And he went to church today. Their 15-minute coffee service fellowship. He looked him up online. I can spare 15 minutes. Like, you really want Jesus, huh? So, Jesus, we commit this into your hands. Thank you, Lord. Amen.